6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. 6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Why the F I have such a hard time with this. I kept getting in and you weren't in there, so I'd exit out. And then refresh to go back.
Our third recording today, actually, right?
Yes.
Started off weird technical difficulties. That was before we started drinking.
I know.
Now, okay, so listeners, Patreon.
Looking Loose, Freaky Friends, Deadly Darlings, and Macabre Hotties. Hello.
We are doing our very own version of Drunk History today.
Yeah, and it's our very first time doing this type of episode.
And apologies for the Christmas episodes.
Yeah.
because those were recorded in preparation while we were preparing for this episode. So it probably like, what the hell
happened? Merry Chrysler.
So now I've moved on to a truly tropical punch. I have one on deck. One in my hand and also a backup.
Heck yeah.
So I don't have to get up.
Nice. Have you tried?
Oh,
go ahead.
No, you go.
I was going to say, have you tried the Truly's now has the celebration box? Did you see those?
What? No.
They're so good. I got
What's
a box.
What's in it?
Citrus Sparkler, what? Cranberry Cheers, Rosé, and there's like a, what's the other one? Like
it's
a peach.
Festive.
Yeah, like very festive. Like, think Ooh. New Year's and
nice.
They're delicious. I would look for them if I were you. They're a limited edition.
I'm going to.
They're delicious.
I ended up with the like citrusy box. I thought it was the margarita box, but I grabbed the wrong box. But they're still fucking delicious. So
right, Truly just delivers.
Truly delivers.
Truly. They do. Truly. But, so you're drinking that. And I'm over here fucking around with absinthe. So
I mean, I started with Jen.
You did.
I
and
had
I'm
a rosé
still
Jen.
Absinthing. You and did. It was like which sounded delicious.
It was good. It was enough to get me to a point where I'm like, I should probably switch over to Truly's now, just to kind of keep everything going
kosher,
but not.
Yeah.
I still need to be able to actually see the paper that I'm reading and actually see the words.
Be able to read. You know?
Yeah.
I have a high tolerance. So I was like, well, if we're going to have to get drunk, then I'm going to have to get something that's a little bit harder. And, you know, at 138 proof, where do you go from there? So here we are.
Whiskey.
I can't. Here's a little secret for our Patreon listeners. I can't have whiskey.
You can't have whiskey. Why?
Two reasons. Well, first
are
of all,
are you angry on whiskey?
Yes, I am.
Oh, that's scary.
Very angry. believe it or not, your girl has a temper in the right circumstances.
No.
Yeah.
No way.
Oh, yeah, way. It's hard to get me angry, but once you've got me there, oh, you better fucking run.
I think that's how I am, too, so.
Mm-hmm.
I see you.
Yeah. We're connected.
I have to like bring this up. Okay, so remember when we were playing? Was it Quiplash?
Downstairs.
Quiplash. Downstairs. Yes. Yeah, we were playing Quiplash, and we both had the same question. It was like worst names for a dictator. Do you remember that?
I do.
Yours was better, but we both basically said the same thing, just slightly differently.
We did.
You said Richard Tater, right?
I did.
And mine was like reverse. Yeah. Fun times.
That was fucking funny. And then when we were playing the telegraph or telestrations, and then when we were playing Utter Nonsense.
Utter Nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, funny, funny. You imagine if we had to, what if we played Utter Nonsense for Patreon one time and we had to present for like a certain amount of minutes with one of those cards?
That'd be hilarious too.
It would be. It really would.
You have to do the whole episode with a British accent.
Oh, I'd love that. I like doing a British accent. Sometimes I can, sometimes I can't.
I wish I could do like a Scottish or Irish accent.
Right. I'll roll into one every once in a while on accident for a couple words or two.
How does that happen?
I don't know.
Alcohol?
I've been... No.
Probably. No?
No, just, you know, me being the fucker I am. I mean,
Chlorine
I don't know. I've
movies
been...
and
yeah.
Monty Python. Go away.
Oh, yeah.
I shall do it a second time.
Fashion Levash.
Also, that's happening.
Fuck yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Bucket list. It's been added.
It's on the macabre bucket list.
It is. Mm-hmm. Film it. We're going to do it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Are you feeling boozed up? Are you ready for this?
Oh, yeah. This is, I haven't been at this state in many a. I don't even know the last time I was feeling a buzz or drunk, really.
Hmm.
It takes a lot for me to get
there,
so it's
considering we
drank
wine
rare.
All night at Friendsgiving and you did not get a buzz, I'm impressed.
Never.
With the absinthe right now.
Yeah.
I'm gonna
me too.
Open my second drink now.
Do it. Honestly, I have a feeling also it's because it's so early, you know, and I really haven't had a lot of my... Yeah.
No one
you're right.
To know.
No, you're right.
No one needs to
you're
know
right.
how early it is.
No, nobody knows time. It's macabre time. You don't fucking know, and you don't need to know. It's macabre time.
It's just going to set you up for a great day.
Mm-hmm.
What time does Tyre get home?
He ain't coming home today.
Oh, he's staying the night?
Yeah. He's coming back tomorrow night. But I don't know. Maybe I'll have a glass of wine on top of this shit and watch some Dracula. You don't know.
Ooh, saucy.
Saucy indeed. Who knows? Who knows
what
could
happen?
Did
you ever watch the other one? The Demeter?
No! I still have to. It's still on my list. Did you get to watch it?
Yeah.
Like the full thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to... I should see if it's on anything.
Yeah, I mean, you
just
have to rent
spooky
it.
Things.
But it's on Amazon Prime. It might be on Prime now. I don't know. It might be free at this point.
I'll have to look. I have a show I watch.
I would give it like entertaining, you know, cool effects.
Good.
I wouldn't put it in like an A category, but it was good for what it was. I just wanted a little more something. Yeah, listeners.
Do you have a word for what that's? Yeah.
Something is? I don't know. Just felt like it was missing a little something to me. A little more fear. I wanted more fear. Oh. I feel like Dracula should be fucking scary.
Agreed. It's supposed to be.
Yeah. But I wanted more of that. I wanted more dark. I wanted more. Yeah.
Dang it.
That thing. Dang, but it was entertaining and worth a watch. So
good. I'm just glad. It's all right. How it is. I mean, everybody has their tastes. And I'm glad I know that going into it now. So I'm not like expecting something different. Yeah.
Is that water?
No.
It's still absent? Is that a new glass? That's not the first glass. Holy shit. Okay. All right. Well, friends, we spent about 10 minutes on the intro, so let's get to it. I need to figure out how I can do this so that I can read this and still see your face. So.
Are you sure you want to see it?
Here we go.
You want to see this face? I don't know if you want to.
I figured it out.
I'm sorry. You have to look at my face.
I like to look at your face.
But why? But why?
Oh, there we go. Look at that. I did it. Fucking did it.
Wunderbar.
I spoke too soon.
Oh, no.
I like what I'm seeing right now. Okay.
And it's not my face, right? Because that's...
What is your face?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. I have things to tell you when we're done recording.
Okay. Put a pen in that. Remind me. Hopefully I'll remember.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Let's fucking do this.
Happy. Raise your glass.
Yeah, here we go.
Cheers.
Cheers.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Gather one. Gather all. The Ladies of Macabre welcome you to our first episode of Macabre Drunk History. I hope you have a drink in your hand so you can play along with us, because this is going to be an interactive episode.
It is.
Today, on my episode, your drunk history word of the day is the word sticky. Yes, that's right. Every time you hear the word sticky, just like now, you are going to take a drink with us. You might have made a bad choice in picking absinthe, maybe.
I did. You know, I just wanted it to be a classic traditional thing.
But what's drunk history without bad choices?
Right. I mean, it's macabre here for a reason.
Drunk macabre history. I have to keep saying drunk, that because...
Indeed.
It's different.
Yes.
All right. On today's Patreon episode, we're delving into a very sticky situation that'll leave you in stitches. I'll be retelling the story of the Great Molasses Flood of Boston, 1919. That's right, folks. Molasses. The sweet nectar that turned the city into a sticky mess. Picture it. North End, Boston, 1919. World War One. This is not good. World War One was over. The roaring 20s were just around the corner, and cases of syphilis and chlamydia were soon to be on the rise. And the good people of Boston were about to witness a tidal wave of molasses. Yes, you heard that right.
Fucking woof.
But wait, by now you're already asking yourself, how does molasses become the villain of this macabre drunk history tale? How can something so sweet be so deadly? Well, buckle up, Buttercup, because it's about to get so hot, sticky sweet from your head down to your feet.
Yes.
Let's start at the beginning. As I mentioned, this took place in Boston in 1919, just before the Prohibition era. So basically, there was this giant tank owned by the Purity Distilling Company, because as it turns out, molasses can be fermented into ethanol. Anytime you have a sugary substance, I'll explain the science of that in just a moment. But with prohibition around the corner, this company was like, we're going to take advantage of this now. We're going to try to get as much of this produced as we can. We're going to try to make a shit ton of money, basically.
Yeah.
So basically what they did was they offloaded the molasses from a nearby port and stored it in this giant ass tank. The tank was 50 feet tall. It contained 2.3 million gallons of molasses.
Holy shit.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is going to explain a lot later why this was such a bad thing that happened. This sticky liquid weighed approximately 12,000 metric tons.
What?
It was basically the Willy Wonka factory of molasses minus the golden tickets and the charming Oompa Loompas. And friends, if you know anything about fermentation, I'm someone who has brewed stuff in the past. Basically, the process of turning sugary substances into alcoholic beverages of any kind, there's specific stages that happen. And the yeast, in layman's term, the yeast feed off of the sugar, and a byproduct of that is they release gas. It releases gas. So like carbon dioxide, it'll release gas, and then also water and heat. Now, normally, this would not be a problem, right? But when I used to make hard cider, the rule is when you're fermenting something, you have to have a certain amount of headspace in your vessel.
Yeah.
So that when those gases start to like off, you know, throw off, there's space for that to expand and escape.
Right.
And usually like you'll use like a bubbler. You know, a bubbler will cork it and allow that to escape. Because if you don't, what happens is not good. If there's no space, it's not good. So picture this. It's a typical Wednesday afternoon in Boston, January 15th, 1919. It's a brisk winter day. People are bundled up. They're, you know, making their way through the streets, going to their, you know, to and from their homes, their jobs, the market, just doing their normal stuff. And then out of nowhere, this particular day got a little bit warmer. And because of this fluctuation in temperature, the tank that the molasses was in, it built up so much pressure that it just like the seams of the tank just like fucking just blew like a bomb just went off.
Oh my gosh. What?
So it was about 12:30 in the afternoon when the peak of this event happened, which makes sense, right? It's the warmest part of the day, probably. A 25-foot tidal wave of sticky molasses traveling at 35 miles an hour swept through the streets like a sweet tooth tsunami.
Whoa. Holy, I can't even imagine what that would look like.
A 25-foot wave of molasses. Holy imagine shit. You're just like walking along, you know, out to buy some bread or something like that. And then you just turn around, you hear this giant explosion, and then you see this like wave coming at you. And you can't really outrun it.
No.
You know? Think about what people were wearing at that time. Women are in those big ass dresses and their boots and and so basically, this wave rushed through and it was pretty deadly. Witnesses reported that they felt the ground shake. And they heard the roar as the tank collapsed, a long rumble similar to passing, like the passing of an elevated train, that same sound. Others reported a tremendous crashing, a deep growling, a thunder-like bang, and the sound of a machine gun as the rivets that were in the tank shot out.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Now, some people might think, like, what's the worst that can happen with molasses? Well, let me tell you. Molasses is way worse than water, right?
Yeah.
It's sticky.
Yep. Shite.
There's your cue. It's gooey. And it's impossible to escape. It's the silent killer of Boston, leaving everything in its path a sweet, sweet disaster. Molasses is 40% heavier than water.
Oh.
So imagine a 25-foot wave of heavy, sticky molasses running towards you. Every gallon of molasses weighs 12 pounds. And there were 12 million gallons. So do the math on that.
Oh my gosh.
And so when I was doing the research on this, I was like trying to like take this in visually, right? Just thinking about what that looks like. And you know, molasses would just go everywhere. It would just get into like nook and cranny. Mm-hmm. And really, really sad, but like the way what it made me think of is like, this is terrible, but it's a true kind of accurate description of probably what it would look like. You know those fly strips?
Yes.
That like hang and they're so sticky, and like when you see like something get stuck in that, that's what it made me think of.
Oh.
And then after I had that thought, I found this quote.
Oh no.
So now what I'm going to say is really going to resonate with you. Molasses waist deep covered the street and swirled and bubbled around the wreckage. Here and there struggled a form, whether it was an animal or a human being, it was impossible to tell. Only an upheaval, a thrashing about in the sticky mass showed where any life was. Horses died like so many flies on sticky flypaper. The more they struggled, the deeper in the mess they were ensnared. Human beings, men and women, suffered likewise.
Oh my gosh.
The wave of molasses was so powerful that it lifted a streetcar and overturned it. It made buildings slide off their foundations. It impacted steel. This wave was not fucking around.
Holy shit.
Now, we have to ask the question, why did this happen?
Uh-huh.
Right? Well, I wish I could say it was just a freak accident, but turns out it was just old-fashioned engineering incompetence.
Oh, no.
This tank was poorly designed by an arrogant, cost-cutting, money-hungry asshat who thought cutting corners on design to save money was not a big deal and that nothing could possibly ever fucking go wrong.
Oh, I love that mentality because it always fucking will in those cases.
Innocent people always suffer for asshattery.
Yep, agreed.
So yeah, because of the poor design of the tank and the fact there was no headspace and it just was not well put together.
Mm-hmm.
When the temperatures rose that day, the pressure built up so high, causing thermal expansion of the tank. And then it just exploded.
Oh my gosh.
21 people died in one of the most horrific ways imaginable. And another 150 people were injured. Mm. In the aftermath, the cleanup was a ridiculous task. The city had to use salt water from the harbor to wash away the molasses. And I'm imagining they probably didn't have very good like cleanup equipment or tools or anything like that.
Think of that time frame. I mean, did it say how long it took them?
No, but you can look at the pictures online. Like, I think Wikipedia has pictures of the scene. It's pretty wild. And truth be told, like, it's impossible to actually clean all of that up.
Well, yeah, so exactly. Like,
for years and years later, like decades later, they say that like on a warm day,
mm-hmm.
you could walk the streets and it would have like just a sweet smell in the air because it just, lingered.
Wow.
Some people say you can still smell it on a hot day, even now.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh.
The youngest victim, I think, was 10 years old.
No.
Just a kid, kind of like out playing. Mm-hmm. A lot of them were people that were nearby, laborers, people just kind of making their way about their day, unfortunately. And I don't know that there were any repercussions. Probably fucking not, because that's the way it went back then.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
And that, my friends, is the end of my sweet and sticky journey into macabre drunk history. Join me next time when I explore the epic saga of the Great Custard Tsunami of 1922. Until then, stay sweet, stay sarcastic, and remember, history is best served with a side of humor and alcohol.
Indeed.
Woo, bravo. And I'm not drunk.
Bravo.
I should be more drunk, but I have a feeling, I mean, my eyes tell a different story.
I have a
10 in 25 minutes. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's
a good pace.
It is. I don't know. I didn't highlight my word, but I know I use it a lot. I know.
Oh, no.
I know.
I'm afraid. Maybe I should have went.
You should be.
Yeah, I should have let you go. I don't know.
Hey,
I wanted to get through my episode. I wanted to get through it without completely fucking it up, so.
Oh, hey. That's all right.
These are the eyes of a drunk person.
Oh. You feeling it?
I feel a little buzzed. Sometimes I'm in denial about how actually buzzed I am. Like, I'm fine.
You're like, I'm totally fine.
Oh, shit. What's your word?
My word is wheat.
Wheat?
Yeah. Surprise. Because you would have fucking killed me if I would have made it emus.
If you made it emus, I would have murdered you.
I know. Oh.
This, I think, is in one of my books.
Is it?
I think it's in.
Yeah, it should be.
Book. What's the one that we were, the wanking trials?
You're right.
It's in that book because we talked about it.
Yes. And I read that book after you told me about it. It's You Don't Want to Know.
You Don't Want to Know.
Yeah. Because it's penguins fucking on the cover.
Yeah, the penguins are fucking on the cover.
It's great.
Yeah.
I love that book.
So the Emu War's in there. There's a wanking trial. So basically back in the day, and we can rewind all this and I can edit whatever.
I'm not worried.
So back in the day, like, you know, it was super important for people to be able to have kids, like for royalty and all that shit. So if a guy was impotent if wanted a divorce or something like that, like he could claim that he was impotent to get out of the marriage. But in order for him to do that, they had to hold a trial. He had to prove that he was impotent, which involved a lot of groping and touching and stroking and fondling by just random jurors.
Yeah.
Men too.
Yeah.
That book is hilarious.
It is. It's so fucking funny.
There's the party decanter. The human decanter was in there.
Uh huh. Yeah. I forgot about that.
You take the alcohol tube up the butt.
No.
You will get. That's another episode of Macabre Drunk History. Oh shit. Okay. I want to learn about emus.
Okay. My turn. Wheat. Okay. That
is
your
most of my drink. Okay. Wheat.
Yeah, there you go. The term to drink to, if you haven't heard, is wheat. So, yeah, I am covering the Great Emu War. Yeah, that was a fucking thing. So
to
let's
the Australians.
I know. We love you, Australia.
We love you. You're weird. Happened?
You're weird. We
weird
love
shit
you.
Happens there. It's also very scary.
Yes,
there's a lot of deadly
indeed.
Stuff in Australia.
Really, there is.
Still want to go though.
Me too.
I still want to go visit.
So we have to set the scene for this. Now, picture it. 1932. Australia. It was a firefight. The military had a new mission. Eradicate the group wreaking havoc in the Australian countryside. They were commanded by their government that the enemy must be stopped. Coming soon to a field near you. Emu. So, I mean, where do we start? Well, I guess with fucking emus. So, woof. Where to begin? Here's some facts. How did they
get there? You're going to cover all that.
How did emus get to Australia, or how did they get into the fields?
How did they get to Australia?
I think they're native.
Get brought over? One of those? Because, you know, like a lot of Europeans brought stuff with them.
Right.
Good question.
That's a great question. I think listeners? They're native. Yeah.
Okay.
Foreigners, our foreign listeners, please let us know, because I believe they're native to Australia, but I could be absolutely wrong about that. But I think they are, because they are Australia's national bird. So, yeah.
It's ironic.
It sure is.
It's very...
right? And even funnier, the technical term for a group of emus is a mob.
A mob?
Yeah. Yep, a mob.
So crows are a murder.
Yep, you got a murder of crows, and you got a mob of emus.
Mob of emus.
And, you know, honestly, that's all I got. Thank you, listeners. This has been Macabre. No, just kidding.
You didn't say wheat once.
No, but let's talk about some fucking wheat.
Okay. Now I'm going to keep trot.
Yes. And I'm going to just keep this in my hand, because here we go. So let's talk about wheat and what have you. In this time in Australian history, emus were a big fucking problem. They were kind of always a problem, running rampant, you know, as you do. Well, what was the problem this time, though? Emus were wanting some of that grade A wheat.
They're kind of assholes, too.
They are grade A assholes. So, a lot of time and money had went into eradicating them, because they just wreaked complete havoc on their surroundings, regardless of where they were. They were simply a major threat. They decimated the wheat. That tasty, tasty wheat.
I hate you.
I told you would.
I was trying to be responsible.
I know. It gets better at the end. Don't worry. Okay. I start hard and I end easy.
You go hard at the beginning.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
Uh-huh. The economy was tanking at this time. But do you think emus gave two shits? Absolutely not. They needed that sweet wheat fix.
I don't even know if I can keep up with you.
I'm sorry. This all went down in Western Australia. Now, here's something to remember. At this time, there was a global depression, a drought had hit Australia, and they were really feeling the effects from all of that. They were trying to build their country back up, and then guess who decides to show up? The motherfucking emus.
Emus.
Emus! Soldiers coming back from the war, where the economy was about to crash, I mean, what were they gonna do? So they needed to focus on agricultural production in order to get back on their feet. So these soldiers were given land with the expectation that they would farm it so that it would boost the economy, right? Well, that's all. Nice. Yeah, it is nice. But I mean, that's all fine and dandy, but the emus came in with that intention to fucking shit that up. You know, the old fuck around and find out approach. So emus officially were labeled once again as vermin, because they kind of were taken in and out of that title for a long time. They're like, well, they're not so bad right now, so let's just take them out. You know, they're not in that vermin category anymore. And then they'd be like,
you declassified the emus.
Yeah, exactly. And then they would be like,
you're schedule two now.
Yep. Exactly. But then they would go somewhere and then fucking shit up, you know, and they're like, oh, never mind. Let's just put them back on the list. We were wrong. With the economy failing, these former soldiers, now farmers, were, just like the rest of Australia, really feeling the effects of all of the shit going down. The emus were just the salt in the wound. Now, I keep saying emus, but how many emus are we actually talking about?
Glad that wasn't your word.
Uh-huh, because it, it's
I'd
about
be
to get
under
worse.
The desk right now. But I guess if you want to switch gears, listener, you can always change the word to emus.
You could, but oh boy, are you in for it if you do. I would stick with wheat if I were you. Yep. All right, emus. How many are we talking about? We're talking about 20,000 of them.
Where? In Australia.
In the western part of Australia. In the fucking fields. They're just everywhere.
20,000. That's a
20,000.
Lot.
Oh, and the population fluctuates. We'll get to that. Farmers tried dealing with them on their own, and it was just no use. They were hard to shoot, and even if they managed to hit them, they wouldn't go down easy. Apparently, if you had your just typical hunting rifle, you'd have to hit them over 6 or 7 times in order to kill
them. Holy shit.
Yep. So they're hard to kill, and they ate about fucking everything. So what was left to do? Call in the government, of course. And this is why we start the Great Emu War. The Minister of Defense got involved. Yes, that's right.
Oh my god.
Uh-huh. And the military.
Could you imagine that press conference? I'm like thinking of the, like, what would they say at the press conference?
Good day.
I'm sure you can do it. You're definitely better at voices than I am.
Oh, I can't really do an Aussie accent, though. We got a really big problem. Yeah, no, it didn't work.
What
I'm
about
not gonna...
a Steve Irwin?
That's the a emus. Lot of emus. Okay, no, I can't.
No. Save that for our game. Well, play.
Yeah, I'll have to practice. Oh, but yeah, no, it's true. The Minister of Defense got involved, and then the military was sent in with machine guns. Uh-huh.
Damn. Can you imagine just open firing with a fucking machine gun?
You can actually watch the video on YouTube.
No.
Uh-huh.
There are videos of this?
Yes, like actual live footage. Well, not live footage, but like real like documentation. Real yeah. Dang. So funny story, they were so confident in their victory that they hired a cameraman because they're like, we're going to count this as a victory for Australia. So we have some nationalist pride. Let's fucking film it. Yeah. Well, that victory over these dinosaur birds hired a film guy, let's make a documentary about it. All right. You want to know the details on who actually the government did send out into this fucking shit show? Three troops. One cameraman.
Three.
Yep. 10,000 rounds of ammunition and 2 guns. Against 20,000 fucking emus.
That does not add up.
No. No, it does not. And on November 1st of 1932, this flight, or I'm sorry, not flight, they can't fly. This fight had an audience of a bunch of settlers also. No pressure, gang. They're just going to be some people watching.
If emus could fly, they would have been really
fucked. They would have been real fucked if they weren't already. Can you imagine? Oh my gosh, no. Oh my gosh. No. So I'm just like trying to fucking picture this. So like the emos are just like looking at him, you know, like they're just munching on a bunch of fucking wheat with that deadpan stare, like, you know, like,
and they kind of remind me of like the animal version of a carrot. Just like, can I speak to your manager?
You can't shoot her down. She's there to cause some trouble.
She's just
Oh my gosh.
I'm going off the rails.
Yeah,
munching on the wheat.
Munching on the wheat. Deadpan stares from the Karens.
What are you
going to
do? What are you going to do about it?
Yeah. What are you going to do?
You can Where's shoot me manager? 6 times and I'm not going to die.
Yep. And then she'll ask for your upper manager. And then she'll threaten to call the company's business line.
Corporate.
Oh, fuck. Oh, man. Oh. Yeah, that'd be funny. That'd be funny. So, like, convert this situation into, like, Australia's actually just a retail store, and it's just 20,000 Karens on a Black Friday coming in to fuck your shit up.
Oh my god. I will just prefer to shop online. Thank you.
Right? Yep, same. Work too much retail. I know that life. Oof. No more Karens. Thank you. So, with these newly issued machine guns, it took 3 to 4 shots to kill one now.
With
not much
gun.
Better. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have enough ammunition.
Oh, just you wait.
If you just do the math on that, that's not enough ammunition.
No.
And I'm not great at math, especially
I'm not
when
either.
I've been drinking, but it still does not add up.
Nope. And it's only going to get worse. So, as you can imagine, machine guns are really fucking noisy, right? So once they started firing, the noise scared all these fuckers. So they'd go scatter. And they're too fast for the soldiers. And they run faster than the fucking Humvees that they were given, right?
What?
But do you think that... Oh, yeah. You think that stopped them?
How fast can they run?
I think it's over 30 miles an hour.
Holy shit. Okay, I gotta look it up. But continue on.
So, funny story about guns and trucks with this. They decided to mount one of the guns on a truck. But then the emus outran the truck. It caused a bunch of fucking ruckus and the truck crashed.
Oh, no. They can run 31 miles an hour.
Dang. Yeah, I was like, I think it was like 30. That's fucking nuts. And
that's
especially like you... You think of that time period with vehicles. You know, they're obviously not going over 35.
Their horsepower is not.
Yeah, exactly.
That high.
Exactly.
They probably ran like 25 miles an hour.
Right. So can you fucking imagine being in a vehicle like that and you've got these fuckers running?
It's a Jurassic Park scene, basically.
It really was.
The emo is outrunning you in this scenario.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like,
yep, you crash your truck and, oh boy. And then we continue. So by the 8th of November of 32, 2,500 rounds were fired. And that's about 25% of what their full resources were. And you want to know how many emus they killed?
5.
50.
Out of 20,000?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, not much, right? The emus won and went on to eat more wheat and fuck up more fences like the punks they are.
I lost track of how many times you said it.
I don't even know at this point, and I didn't count them. I didn't highlight them. I should have. I'm just surprised that they didn't ding-dong ditch the farmers, leaving like big old bags of flamey emu shit at the doorsteps. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're just like punking it now. On the 12th of November... was the second wave of the war. We still have 3 troops, and now we've added some locals. So they got 40 more emus, you know. Real racking them up there, guys.
Close to 100 at this point.
Yeah, but not quite. No, it's fine. On the 10th of December, here we go. We've got 986 kills. And they used 9,860 rounds. So approximately 10 rounds per kill. And we're talking like military ammunition, not like your typical...
And people who are trained to fire weapons.
Yeah, exactly.
Accurately.
Yeah. They're losing. So later farmers would request that bombs be dropped on their wheat munchers.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's the fucking answer to everything.
Mm-hmm. You know, request bombs like you do. Despite the attacks on their population, the emus kept fucking multiplying. And, you know, it was all those feathery orgies in the wheat fields. You know?
Oh, shit. I missed one.
Yep. The government, at this point, actually gave up. Emus won. Maybe two or three. Australia, definitely zero. If not negative two or three. The farmers kept asking for help despite all of this because it was just unreal. In November of 1950, 500,000 rounds of ammo was used this time. I'll give you three fucking guesses on who won, and the first two don't count. Of course the fucking emus won.
They just... I mean...
Yeah.
You gotta just live with it.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
Fence your fields or something. Uh-huh. I don't know.
Well, can guess, an emu guess, jump? They can jump pretty high. But if you've got quality... And let me tell you, they did have a solution at the end of all of this. After years of dealing with...
I'm afraid to ask what the solution was.
Oh, yeah. You're gonna laugh your ass off. After decades of dealing with this feathery fuckery, they came up with the solution of just better fencing.
Yeah, that was my thought exactly.
Better fucking fencing. After all of this, this all could have been avoided. It's all about the fences. And that, my friend.
2 seconds to figure that out?
Right? It took them 2 decades.
So I could basically run the Australian government.
Yeah, at that point you could have. I mean, there is no offense to Australia, and I'm sure...
No, of course not.
From a foreign standpoint, because we don't live with emus and other, like, abrasive wild species on a daily basis, we don't understand how annoying... I mean, we can picture it, but to us, it's just comical.
Yeah, but, I mean, but also it's, like, the livelihood of people.
Exactly.
I can understand.
In that time.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And in our defense, though, I did look at the funniest things in history, and this makes the top 10. So that's...
Yeah.
That's why I chose it.
Yeah.
The fucking end.
I think you probably landed about where I did on words.
Okay.
You just rapid fired them in the beginning. So
I did. Yeah. That way everybody could
a little more
get a breather. And then I did a one little one at the end. Can you imagine if we would have done the syphilis episode drunk?
Oh my gosh.
Six months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Tomtandia products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.